Good morning. Our first reading is from Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 5. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is from Romans 9, verses 1 through 13. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel, and not all are children of Abraham, because they are his offspring. But through Isaac shall your offspring be named. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offspring. For this is what the promise said. About this time next year I will return, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only so, but also when Rebekah had conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac, though they were not yet born and had done nothing either good or bad, in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of him who calls, she was told, the older will serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Marty. The good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 to 21. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, before we examine those interesting readings this morning, I have a question. Have you ever been on the receiving end of a completely random, senseless act of mercy? I've mentioned once before a book I read a few years ago called A Higher Call. It's the story of a decorated World War II German Luftwaffe fighter pilot named Franz Stigler. Just days before Christmas, 1943, Stigler was in his Messerschmitt single-seat fighter patrolling the air over northern Germany, looking for stragglers among the American B-17s headed back to England after their daily bombing mission over German industrial sites. Stigler was looking, found what he was looking for almost directly below him and in front of him, a badly damaged B-17 bomber flying low and slow and alone, limping through the air. So Stigler dove and came up from behind the B-17, intending to finish it off. But he had to be careful. He was well aware that the B-17 tail gunner would have a good shot at him. He approached the B-17 from behind, waiting for the tail gunner to open fire. Nothing happened. As he got closer, he could see why. He could see the tail gunner's dead, slumping form. It turns out that all the guns on the B-17 had been knocked out. The plane was completely defenseless. So here's what Franz Stigler did. He pulled his Messerschmitt fighter up alongside the crippled American B-17 bomber, and they flew side by side over the German anti-aircraft batteries that lined the German coast along the North Sea. Stigler knew that they would never fire at a Messerschmitt, and they didn't. Stigler also knew that what he'd just done was considered an act of treason, aiding and abetting the enemy. If it was discovered what he'd done, despite his status as an ace pilot, he'd be shot in front of a firing squad. It was a remarkable act of mercy. Both our epistle lesson from Romans 9 and our gospel lesson from Matthew 14 make reference to acts of mercy, what seem to be random, senseless acts of mercy. In Matthew 14, after learning about the death of John the Baptist, Jesus, saddened and seeking solitude, left the town of Capernaum in a boat. The crowd of people that had gathered around him in Capernaum followed him by walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. So when Jesus decided to go back to shore at an isolated spot near the town of Bethsaida, east of Capernaum, he was met by a huge crowd, more people than he'd left in Capernaum. They'd been walking along the shoreline, following his boat, waiting for him. And as they walked, the crowd gathered and grew. So even though Jesus was grieving the death of John the Baptist, Jesus went ashore and spent that day healing the sick among the huge crowd gathered on the beach. Jesus himself, though he was God, was also man, and he identified with those people on the beach. Here's why. As God who came down to earth to live and suffer as a human being, Jesus also experienced the sadness and deep sense of loss that those people, and we also, often experience in life. And Jesus responded to them, and he responds to us with compassion. However, by the end of that day on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, the disciples' appetite for compassion was exhausted, and they were exhausted. They wanted this crowd, all these people, gone. And they urged Jesus to send them away to get something to eat. "No," Jesus replied, "you feed them." The disciples argued with Jesus, "but we have our own food here, and it's not nearly enough for all these people. It's not even enough for us." But Jesus made it work. He fed the whole crowd with a few fish and a few loaves. The whole point here, in addition to demonstrating that Jesus can do anything, the point here is that regardless of how others respond, you can count on Jesus to always respond to your situation with mercy and compassion and love for you. Life in this world is marked with challenges and often failure and sadness and deep disappointment. Things Jesus has also experienced. In the midst of it all, Jesus will never leave you. He'll give you what you need and more. And though we don't deserve it, that's completely true, 100% of the time. Which brings us to our epistle lesson from Romans 9. There's a lot there at the beginning of Romans 9. But the part I want to bring up is the last verse that we read, where Paul makes the statement, "Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated." Here's the very abbreviated version of a story that unfolds in Genesis. The patriarch Abraham and his wife Sarah had Isaac. Then Isaac and his wife Rebekah had twin sons, Esau, who was born first, and then Jacob. The "Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated," quote, actually refers to the descendants of Jacob and Esau. The descendants of Jacob were the Israelites. The descendants of Esau were the Edomites. And it's not that God hated the Edomites. It's an expression of preference, because God chose the Israelites to produce the Messiah. That's why the Jews, or the Israelites, are the chosen people, chosen to produce the Messiah. So why did God choose Jacob instead of Esau to be the patriarch of the chosen people, the Israelites? Why Jacob? Great question. Because Jacob was a man just about as flawed as they come. In terms of moral character and kindness, Esau certainly surpassed Jacob. In fact, in Genesis 33, there's this great scene where, after decades of being apart, after Jacob had cheated his brother Esau out of his inheritance, the two brothers met. Jacob was scared, for good reason. And he was afraid that Esau would try to kill him. But Esau, after everything Jacob had done to him, Esau was kind, forgiving, and gracious. Yet Jacob was favored, just as we are the undeserving recipients of God's kindness and favor. I mentioned the story of the World War II German fighter pilot, Franz Stigler, who, in an act of brazen mercy, accompanied a crippled, low-flying American B-17 bomber over German anti-aircraft guns that would have, without doubt, blown the B-17 out of the sky. Incredibly, that American B-17 made it back to England. 9 of the 10 men aboard survived. Franz Stigler was a man of deep faith in Christ. He came from a devout family in Germany. He also had an older brother who was a German Luftwaffe pilot who'd been killed in action. As a veteran fighter pilot, he'd lost countless friends. So he was a man who had suffered grievously. But he was also a man who many, many times had killed others in the course of duty. And yet he attributed his own survival to God's mercy. We also, all of us, are the recipients of undeserved compassion and mercy from God. We don't earn it, we can't earn it, and it's hard to understand. But Scripture tells us that we who are baptized and believe are the recipients of an incredible gift. Not because we are good, but because we belong to Christ. We who are sinful, like Jacob, we who are helpless and hungry, like those people on the beach by the Sea of Galilee. We have received the imputed righteousness of Christ. That means when God looks at you, you who belong to Christ, he doesn't even see your selfishness and sin. He sees that you belong to Jesus. And we who recognize our own sinfulness and recognize God's breathtaking kindness and mercy toward us, now we are equipped to show kindness to others. We have been forgiven and treated kindly by God. Let's also forgive and treat others with kindness. God is full of mercy and compassion toward you. You are forgiven. Relax and be at peace. All will be well. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love and compassion and mercy toward us, your sinful people. Lord, help us to recognize the depth of our sin and the magnitude of your mercy and goodness toward us. And cause that to fill us with gratitude toward you and humility before one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.